Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We have NFL Network's Adam Rank, the fantasy football guru, joining the boys, and it's episode 300. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Back!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they have episode 300 coming hot at you guys and every other episode before it. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tosman, Arctosopoulos, Nikki Snacks Kreida, and NFL Network's Adam Rank for an awesome episode discussing football and a whole lot more. But before we can get into the episode, we got to remind you guys, we are brought to you by betonline.ag. Not KG, but .ag. Big weekend. We got Bucks heading to Lambeau to play the Packers. We have the Bills heading to KC at Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. It looks like Pat Mahomes is suiting up. So where are you going to place your bets on those games, that parlay? Where are you going to bet on it? You got to go to betonline.ag. It's the best place for it. I know I'll be there. So come on, join me. We'll take our winnings and we'll go play the online casino, but not blackjack. Definitely poker. betonline.ag. Got to love it. Like we love this episode, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Charity Stripe Podcast with Adam Rank. All right, you heard an hour introduction. We got NFL Network's Adam Rank, fantasy football connoisseur, joining the boys today. Adam, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm wonderful. It's a great day in America. It's a great day to be on with you three guys. I've been looking forward to this. I canceled every appearance today except for this one, because I don't know if I can pull back the curtain a little bit. It's 10:30 in the morning on the West Coast, and I'm like, I shouldn't be super drunk by now. Buzzed, maybe, but you know, not super. So I wanted to make sure that I got on with you guys. I've been really excited about this. Plus I'm also one of those guys, like during the season, it's always tough for me to get a hold of everybody. And I always feel terrible. Like, I feel like such a jerk to be like, hey, can we do this after the season? And you guys were right on the spot. So I'm happy to do it. Happy to jump on. We've already made plans to go golf in the future. This is going to be a good one.
I love it. And for the fans that don't know, we're recording on Inauguration Day. So
yes, we're recording on
it. Oh, I should have pointed that out. Yeah.
It's a big day in America history. Got Biden.
It's just Wednesday for Adam, and he's just, you know, having a good day.
It is my normal Wednesday routine. It is the thing. Actually, you know, typically, my daughter is in kindergarten. So Wednesday is usually my day. I'll sit in with her. So I arranged the schedule. So, you know, we switched it around a little bit. So we're doing that. But
Is she doing virtual learning right now?
Yeah, she's a virtual learning kid. And God bless teachers. Like, I don't know how they do it. And I don't know how they wrangle 30 kids all the time. But it is the most thankless job. And it's one of the things, and I know it's an inauguration day, and I don't want to go into like political stuff, like right on the top, but when they talk about like canceling student debt or anything like that, I feel like if you go to school to be a teacher, It should be free. Like, whatever. We should be paying. Like, that's how we pay back. Like, fine, you can go to school for free. You deserve it. Like, it's such a crazy thing. Like, I am, and it's not like a revelation. Mm-hmm. Like, I always, like, I was in school. I knew I was a dick. So I'm like, okay, I get it. But seeing it now from this level of being a parent, I'm like, God, these teachers are amazing. Like, I can't say enough about them.
Absolutely. Yeah, my mom's a first grade teacher. There's literally no preparation they had for any of this. You know, like, it's such an unprecedented thing, virtual learning. I mean, talk about teaching 25 plus kids through a computer, kids who don't have any form of attention span.
Yeah, absolutely none. And it's hard not to get mad at them. But you also think about, like, think of the four of us. You know, like, we have to arrange our schedule. Like, it's difficult. Like, you think about when you're arranging your fantasy draft, it's like trying to herd kittens. And yet you got to do this with 5-year-olds. It's impossible. And somehow they're making it work. My daughter's learning Spanish. It's amazing.
What?
So it's, yeah, that's what she's in, the Spanish Emerge. Like, she's in the Spanish program where they had English as a second language. You know, you have the kids, you know, we're Southern California. Every city has people who speak English as a second language, but instead of putting them in their separate groups, they allowed English speaking kids to join them to kind of help with, you know, getting everybody on the same page. And so my daughter's in that. So we volunteered her to be in that program. Actually, we had to not fight for it, but you had to apply for it. And so this is a very cool program, and it's very cool to be in class with kids who have different backgrounds than you. You know, one of her good friends, her family's from Peru. And so it's awesome. You know, it's just a whole new experience. So I can't say enough about it. So, and so that on top of everything else, of like doing this all online, learning a second language online, it's been incredible. The thing that's crazy though, is that now that, you know, she's learning a little bit of Spanish, she's still a kindergartner. She's still a fifth grader, but people still want to challenge her. Like, they're like, hey, say this. Say guacamole in Spanish. You're like, hey, asshole, it's still guacamole. Like, it's not, that doesn't change. Like, stop challenging this 5-year-old. She's doing a great job. She knows she's doing what she needs to do. We actually, it was funny because the teacher comes out one day because they were in school for a couple of days a week for a long period of time. Mm. And the teacher comes up. She's like, hey, she's like, does your nanny speak Spanish? And I'm like, what? First of all, we don't have a nanny. Second of all, I'm like, no. But she was just impressed that my daughter had picked up Spanish so well that she thought, number one, that I was well off enough to have a Spanish speaking nanny. But she was out there crushing it. So I said, listen, that's you.
Do you saw the ESPN Deportes that she's been watching?
Do you speak at all, Adam?
No, you know what? This is the thing. This will be my PSA for anybody out there. First of all, I make her watch Cocomelon, the Espanol. Cocomelon. That's the key, is like learning the nursery rhymes in Spanish. I will say this. Well, I grew up in Southern California. Yeah. Like an idiot. I felt that I knew enough Spanish from my Spanish speaking friends. I lived in Corona. So I'm like, I know enough Spanish. Why don't I learn French? Which was the dumbest thing of all time. So I knew before my kids were even born, I'm like, they're going to learn Spanish. They're going to be kids of the world. They're going to be able to travel anywhere and be able to speak the language. Two solid language, English and Spanish. I think you've got a large part of the world covered. So I don't. And it's one of the things I got to start Rosetta Stoning it, because at some point my 2-year-old is going to get into this program in a couple of years. And I don't need those two conspiring behind me. So I'm going to have to start keeping up with it a little bit. But, you know, I'm starting to learn a little bit through osmosis of sitting next to her as she's doing her online learning.
You enjoy some Cocomelon yourself.
Love the Cocomelon.
Duolingo is where it's at. It's app on your phone. I was a French kid as well. I started doing French in high school, in middle school and high school. And I'm sure, like you, I dicked around the entire time, didn't take it seriously, can barely speak a lick of it now. Not a gun to my head. I couldn't tell you a full sentence. So I started Duolingo again, and I'm picking it back up. I was like, screw it.
You know, which is not a sponsor. Duolingo is not a sponsor.
Josh really charity trip, but I really am into it.
Josh, you know, just really
I'll
likes
push any. I'll push any product that I'm into. So Duolingo is where it's at if you want to learn another
language.
Let's
work on it.
Yeah. Well, shoot. It's 20 minutes.
You guys
a day.
Are influencers.
Yeah.
Duolingo. Yeah. Let's do it. It's the dumb. I don't know if you had this issue too. I do remember the girl, Selena Barrera. She took French.
Yeah.
And I think that my motivation might have been her. I'm like, oh, Selena's like the hottest girl in school. You're like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to take French too. And so that's, you know, that's part of it as well. So, Have better motivations, people. That's all I'm saying. Take Spanish or whatever language you do take. Make sure you learn it and stick with it. You will not be. It's not something that you're not going to use.
Yeah.
That's a double negative. You'll use it.
Speaking of French, playoffs this weekend. We got the championship games, AFC Championship and NFC Championship. Packers, Bucks, Bills, Chiefs. From the start of the season, are there any teams in there that you're surprised? Are you surprised by this Final Four? Did you see this coming? Is this what you anticipated?
No, not what I anticipated. My Super Bowl prediction, if I think of it correctly, if I didn't have Chiefs, I had the Chiefs winning it all, so that's not a surprise. I think I had the Buccaneers going. I think I had Chiefs, Buccaneers. I'd have to go back and check. I might have had Eagles. Like, that was kind of a shock to me that they played so poorly. But I think I had the Bills at 9-7, and so I thought that they were going to be a good team. I had the Packers kind of not playing as well as they did last year, but they've kind of exceeded my expectations. I didn't think that the Bears were going to be like 13-3 or anything like that, but I didn't think the Packers were going to be this good. And I think that you probably should have, because Aaron Rodgers is such a spiteful person that he's going to go out there. And once you drafted his replacement, instead of drafting him a wide receiver,
right.
I mean, it figured for fantasy, I went out there and drafted him. I just didn't think that the defense was going to play as well as they were. I didn't think that Aaron Jones would continue to play as well as he did. I thought not having that number two receiver would be more of an issue. And, you know, so I thought that they were, you know, they've exceeded my expectations a little bit. But the Bucs and Chiefs, to me, come as no surprise.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you pick a guy like Leonard Fournette and Antonio Brown, who are starting to kick it into high gear. It seems they just have such a bevy of weapons. A guy in the Packers that's such an unsung hero, though, is Jaire Alexander, who has been absolutely phenomenal. Again, going to your point, it's always LaFleur is so good at running the football, and I think that's what it is for the Packers. And the defense, Darius Smith, is excellent. So what do you think Rodgers gets it done at home in Lambeau, or are you still riding the Bucks here?
No, I'm not going to pick Aaron Rodgers. As a Bears fan, I'm certainly not going to sit here and pick Aaron Rodgers. And it's funny to me, you know, the Packers certainly are celebrating a lot. Hey, congratulations on beating the Rams with their backup quarterback, Jared Goff. Like, congratulations. You did very well. You handled him. Aaron Donald was obviously more injured than people were led to believe. You know, if I would have known that Aaron Donald was that wrecked, I wouldn't have picked the Rams to win. I mean, I might have, just because I hate the Packers. But I thought that the Rams still hung out. They still hung around. Like, as awful as Jared Goff is, who's the West Coast Trubisky, they were still in that game, to the point of, like, they could end up winning this. Like, if they create one turnover, there could be a situation where the Rams are back into this game, possibly winning. I think what we saw was Aaron Donald make such a huge impact, not only on what he does, but Leonard Floyd was a non-factor. Like, Leonard Floyd has been playing very well this season, but with Aaron Donald limited, Leonard Floyd just went back to the Leonard Floyd that we saw in Chicago. And of course, he got juked out of his shoes by Aaron Rodgers. Like, bro, you play him twice. You played him twice a year. Why are you still getting faked out by? How do you, of all people, get faked out by Aaron Rodgers there at the goal line? Like, just tackle him. Just tackle the guy. Like, he's a 37-year-old man. He doesn't move as well as he used to. He's got a busted collarbone. He doesn't want to be out there running. Or it's not busted, but it's been broken twice. So I thought that people were a little too enthusiastic. Like, they were way more impressed with that victory than they should have been, because I thought the Bucs were far more impressive, like creating four turnovers against Drew Brees and that Saints offense, which, of course, was down Taysom Hill, but they didn't let Alvin Kamara beat them. They did not let Michael Thomas even touch the football. I thought that the Bucs played pretty well. And you know what? You talk about all the weapons that they have, and they have Antonio Brown. They have Mike Evans, who's amazing. Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski. Their leading receiver was Leonard Fournette.
Oh, good.
You know?
Yeah.
And Scotty Miller was contributing. I think that the Bucs have too much. And I think that looking at Davante Adams, you're not going to shut him down like you shut down Michael Thomas. Let's just be realistic.
Yeah.
But if you take him away, or if you limit him, and you make it a game where, and I know that guys like Bob Tonyan scored, 13 touchdowns this season.
Yeah.
I know they're fine players. Lazard's a fine player. But I'm not scared of those guys. And it really comes down to shutting down or slowing down Davante Adams, limiting the running game enough And the Bucs have an offense that can actually score, unlike the Rams last week. So
right.
I feel – and Cam Akers looked great. Of all the players who played on Sunday, Cam Akers was one. And I'm a fantasy guy, so, of course, I'm going to be latched on. I know Jair Alexander's awesome. But Cam Akers, with no threat of a passing game, with the ability to run the way he did, I think that the Bucs could actually shorten the game and really put this on the Packers.
They kind of got their offensive dud of – I mean, last game wasn't an offensive dud of a game, but their defense is what really won them that game against a great Saints defense. Packers defense is coming into its own right now, but it's not the same as the Saints defense. So I feel like the Bucs are kind of due for a high-powered offense type of game. And we might see a really high-scoring game as well. But I know you're a big Rodgers hater, but I had Devontae on my fantasy team this year, so I was a big Rodgers praiser the entire year. But it was it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think a lot of people will predict the State Farm Bowl, right? The Rodgers-Mahomes matchup, which would be pretty cool. But any kind of scenario we get is a pretty amazing matchup. I think all four teams left, like, they yield such a cool matchup, such a great matchup, especially if Josh Allen gets there, like what that means for the rest of his career, you know, what kind of titles we give him going forward. Everyone's saying he's the next Mahomes. We'll see if he actually does it. Mahomes is a different breed, so it'll be interesting. But yeah, I'm ready to see the Brady's Rodgers matchup. Have we seen them play each other? How many times have they played each other in their career?
Three times.
That's
never
it.
In the playoffs. First time in the playoffs.
Yeah. First time in the playoffs, they played three times. Tom Brady has won two of those games, including week six. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers came out this week and said, oh, week six is not that big of a thing. Like, let's not play too much into it. And it reminds me of last season when the 49ers destroyed the Packers during the regular season. And everybody just kind of brushed that off going into the NFC Championship game. Like, oh, they'll be fine. You're like, they're not going to be fine. They're going to get destroyed again. Like, it would have been better for the Packers to have lost because they're not going to go to Santa Clara and give them a game. And so they went to Santa Clara for the NFC Championship game, and it was over by halftime. I'm not saying that that's going to happen this year. It's in Lambeau. But people are trying to erase that. And then they also, like, Packer fans are also great about acting like, well, this guy, you know, this team, Tom Brady, coming from Florida. Tom Brady coming from Florida. No experience playing in the cold at all, ever. Like, when was the last time Tom Brady went on the road in the championship game in a hostile environment in the cold? And, oh, wait, that was 2018 when he went into Arrowhead Stadium when it was completely full, going up against Patrick Mahomes and won the AFC championship game in overtime. So if you want to erase all the narratives, that's fine. We can break it down that way and just try to play the matchups as they are. But don't dismiss week six and then act like Tom Brady is this Florida guy that's never seen the snow in his life. I hope he has UGG boots for it, because I don't think he's ever seen snow ever.
It's like one comment from that conversation post game with he and Aaron Andrews where he says his blood's a little bit thinner and now everyone's just blowing it out of proportion. Like, it's crazy. The guy dominates in the cold. He dominates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And two other guys that do dominate in the cold are Allen and Mahomes. Where do the Bills have a chance, or are the Chiefs rolling right in?
Well, you know, as we're recording this right now, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, we think he's going to play.
Yeah.
So this could all be for naught. We could be looking at Chad Henne. But I do believe that Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I do believe that the Bills have a chance to win this game, because both the Bills and the Chiefs were very fortunate. I mean, you think about Hollywood Higgins fumbling through the end zone to help out the Chiefs there. You know, that could have been a big swing.
Right.
You know, surviving with Chad Henne and everything like that. And the Bills were also fortunate as well. You think about Justin Tucker, probably the greatest kicker of his generation, missing two field goals, which was weird. That's a 6-point swing right there. They were driving for a potential score, and the Bills had a pick six. So the defense, you know, the Bills offense, for as much yardage as they put up, did not put up a lot of points. They put up 10 points. So there's a lot of things going both ways, but I do believe that the Bills have an offense that can kind of keep up with the Chiefs. And even though we didn't see that against the Ravens, credit to the Ravens and Wink Martindale and that defense and everything like that, But I do think that the Bills and every team that's it's still alive in the playoffs right now have that ability to keep up with the Chiefs. Like, you're never going to shut them down. Mm-hmm. You're never going to hold them to 10 points. You're going to need to go out there and score. And I think that's one of the things that's holding back the Ravens, is that they have to have that extra element to their offense to be able to get into these shootout type of games. And I think every team still alive can do that. And I think the Bills for sure. And I think with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, at this point, you're playing with house money.
Yeah.
You know, there's no pressure on you. Nobody's expecting you to go to Buffalo expecting you to go to Kansas City and win. So that's very freeing. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go out there and just do my thing. And if it doesn't work, then that's what everybody expects. But we have an opportunity to be great. So I think that the Bills have a great chance in this game. And I know I pick the Chiefs because I'm a coward. And I always, you know, if I pick a team, whether it's in the beginning of the season or the beginning of the playoffs, I'll tend to stick to that because I don't like hedging. Because I don't like hedging because there's too many people that hedge stuff. Like, if you're a gambler or something like that, of course, the smart thing to do, if you're like, well, I've already picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, why not pick the Bills here? And I have the best of both worlds. Right. I'm not that kind of person. So I'm going to stick with the Chiefs. So until the Chiefs lose, I will continue to stick with them.
So you got Chiefs, Bucks, and then who comes out on top? The Chiefs?
I would say that, well, we'll see how it goes. I would still say the Chiefs. I think that we're very close to being in a situation where Andy Reid is now going to be started to be in the conversation of one of the greatest coaches of all time. You know, and I mean, he's always been a great, yeah, but coach. Like, oh, he's great. Yeah, but he never won the Super Bowl or he's never done this. That has now been erased. And again, you talk about guys who are playing with house money now, very freeing. Andy Reid has a Super Bowl. So you saw that. And I know this doesn't necessarily directly play into it, but that fourth down call with Chad Henne, when you have a Super Bowl, you can make calls like that. Like, you can get crazy. Like, Bill Belichick can do all this stuff that he wants to do because it's like, whatever. I'm Bill Belichick. Yeah, I'm the greatest of all time.
Well, if Henne blows Andy Reid, if he blows that throw, Reid gets to go, I have a Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter, right? But like,
Henne
gets it, and he's like, oh, genius. Andy Reid, genius, as always, has a Super Bowl, offensive-minded genius.
Tony Romo goes crazy and blows his britches.
Yeah. Well, Tony Romo said he wasn't going to throw it. He fooled Tony Romo, which is probably the most impossible thing to do right now in sports.
That is the best. Yeah, that is the best. How do you guys come down on Tony Romo? Because my wife does not like him. I think he's a delight.
I think he's excellent. I mean, for the casual fan, look, there's guys like us who we watch it so closely, and a lot of our friends do, and they could talk the game. They understand coverages, and they understand this and that, but not a lot of people do. So if you're keen on learning the game and getting involved and wanting to, you know, have the thoughts for yourself and be able to look at a game, if you're starting week one and by like week 10, you want to look at a game, be able to analyze it and assess it, Tony Romo's a great guy to listen to and honestly learn from. I think he does an excellent job. He's young. He's a familiar face. No shot against the other guys, but a lot of the guys are older. You need a new influx. And that's like kind of to tailor it to Andy Reid. My question for you is, Bieniemy is such a hot name in the market. The two jobs that are left are the Texans job and the Eagles job. Both, in my opinion, are extremely unattractive. Would not go to the Texans. Would not go to the Eagles. Both of them are kind of a shit show. Eagles may be a bit better of a situation because they have some draft capital than the Texans. If you look at the Patriots, McDaniels hasn't gone anywhere other than Denver, and he came back and has been hanging out and waiting in the wings. If you're a Bieniemy and you're looking at Andy Reid and he's a bit older, can you kind of pull that same situation where you just kind of hang tight and wait for you to be given the keys of the kingdom?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sense to that. And there's something to be said about being the apprentice to one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have a job forever. You know, as long until Andy Reid leaves, then you're going to probably take over. The thing, though, and I know a lot of people are saying this about the Houston Texans job because it looks terrible right now. I actually don't believe that it's a terrible job at all. And I would be willing to, if I was Josh McDaniels, maybe not, but Eric Bieniemy, a first-time head coach, I wouldn't be afraid of it because I think Eric Bieniemy is a person who could convince Deshaun Watson that he wants to be there. And that would be, before I would even agree to the job, I would have to sit down with Deshaun Watson and say, listen, I'm coming in and I'm going to run this team. I need you to stay. Will you stick with me? And if this blows up and it doesn't work out, then we'll both leave. We'll both get run out of town and it won't make a difference. And honestly, if you're the Houston Texans, and I know they don't have a first round pick and that's awful, but you still have Deshaun Watson. That is one of the big, that is the biggest thing. That is the most important thing in the NFL. You know, I know that as a Bears fan, that a lot of guys are like, look at the Packers over the last 30 years compared to us over the last 30 years. And you're like, no shit. Cause they've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Right. That's a huge difference than having journeyman quarterbacks come in and try to lead our team. Like if we had Aaron Rodgers, we would look like a model franchise. We would be in the playoffs every season. We would be challenging for Super Bowls. If anything, Packers fans should be disappointed that having 30 years of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers has only netted you two touchdowns or two Super Bowls, I should say.
Good spin.
Like
good
that,
spin.
That should be different. Like, you should feel worse about that.
Yeah.
I know it's not easy to win Super Bowls, but like at least win multiple Super Bowls. Like Eli has won multiple Super Bowls.
As right. many as so the two of them combined. It's true.
Yes. So you look at that. So if I'm taking over, so if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I would go up and I would say, listen, I'm going to go in. I'm going to tell Deshaun Watson, like, this is it. This is what we're going to do. And okay, fine. You get Deshaun Watson to stay. That's great. You got to keep Will Fuller because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You got to convince Will Fuller that he's going to stay. And, you know, if Allen Robinson becomes a free agent, get him to come down to Houston. And now that lack of a first round pick doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
You've got an okay running back situation. David Johnson looked pretty well. But if you have Allen Robinson, Will Fuller with Deshaun Watson, and you're running the team as Eric Bieniemy, now all of a sudden this is one of the best jobs in the league. So I get what people are coming from. That organization looks like a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Very easy fix with the right coach who convinces Deshaun Watson that he wants to play there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have to wait and see who the head coach is, but there was a report that came out today saying that most GMs are in agreement that Watson would demand at least 3 first round draft picks and even more draft capital. Do you see a likelihood of a trade happening? And if so, you know, who are the teams that you see that happening with?
You know, I know all the Bear fans are looking forward to that and saying, can it happen? I mean, I honestly believe that it can. You think of the Khalil Mack trade.
That would be right. So sad, dude. If they passed on him and then they traded for him, that would be, no offense to your Bears, that'd be pathetic.
What it? Because we just have him now. It's fine. No, you're just making up for, you're making up. You're
I
making
think it'd
up.
Be sad as hell.
No. It's like if Zooey Deschanel asked you to the prom and you said no. And then years later, you ran into her. You would want to make good on that. You would then
exactly.
turn and ask her out, right? You guys know who Zooey Deschanel is. I'm not.
First new girl.
Like, listen, I don't know. We had
her co-star on the show one day.
Lamorne Morris. Yeah, who plays Winston.
No way.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Oh,
guy.
My gosh. That's awesome. Oh, he seems awesome. Like,
yeah, he's
I'm
like the man.
He seems like such a cool guy.
He really is. He's got a top-notch impressionist for sure.
Yeah. He had some good ones. It was funny. Yeah.
But no, I actually, that's a great analogy. That is, it's a really good analogy because you, if it got away from you, you're going to say something. You're going to bring it up. You're going to say, I messed up too.
Yeah.
And then you're going to reconcile. And then hopefully things turn out for the better, which of course, I think in that case for the Bears, Deshaun Watson is going to make a franchise better. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny too, because I know that you would lose a first round pick and people are like, our first round picks. You're like, again, it's fine. If you have the quarterback situation solved, then it doesn't matter because having a first round pick is great, but it's never a guarantee. I mean, just go pull out Pro Football Reference or anything like that. Look at how many first rounders miss, especially at the top of drafts. Like there's no guarantee with that as well.
Oh yeah.
So if you have a quarterback that you know is going to hit, then just do it. Like if you think of, and I saw this as a tweet the other day with like all these quarterbacks, like Jared Goff was the first overall selection. Carson Wentz went right after him. RG3 was second overall behind Andrew Luck. Like all these quarterbacks, like it's not a guarantee. If you draft a quarterback that high, why not? I would give up the next 5 first. Who cares? Because the Bears have actually as bad as, and I know everybody hates Ryan Pace. They've actually done a nice job. When you're looking for guys like Jalen Johnson came out and played pretty well this year. I think Cole Kmet will take a step up.
Eddie Jackson was a great find.
Eddie Jackson was great. Once they get that scheme right again and start playing him in the proper place. Like, I don't know why they just didn't pick up a Fangio disciple just to go play. Cause the guy who got hired by the Chargers would have been the perfect pick to be the defensive coordinator. But get him motivated again, or get him in the right spot to make plays. Eddie Jackson. So they've done a nice job with some of their second round picks. David Montgomery, like, that was a good pick. That's a good running back. Like,
Big 12 kid, man.
Deshaun's still 25 years old. I mean, he's 12 years younger than Rodgers. You still have plenty of time for him to be a great quarterback.
You have a decades plus of this guy. You will be in the playoffs every year. It would have to be something that what happened to Houston this year, where there's a season that, you know, might be lost, but you should be in contention. And the funny thing is somebody, and I know I saw this on Twitter, some guy's like, you know, the Bears aren't that close. I'm like, bro, they've made the playoffs in two out of the last three seasons. The one year that they didn't, they were 8-8. Like, they're fine. They're not. The only thing holding them back is that they don't have a quarterback that you can. And it's such a thing. Like, I can't even imagine what this is like, knowing going into every season in every game being like, well, our quarterback gives us a chance to win. Not the, like, I hope our quarterback doesn't blow it. Like, we need a miracle out of Mitch today, or we need this, we need that. Like, I've never experienced that in my life. I would like to enjoy that just once, one season, one magical year or something like that. So I would give up whatever. What do you need? What do you guys want? What does Houston want? Like, we'll make it work.
Right.
Make an offer.
I think the team that has to do, there's a couple teams that could do it. And Rivers obviously retired today and is going to what we assume to be a Hall of Fame induction in Canton. I'm curious. I know it's within the division, but I think the Colts, if there's a team that can give them anything, the King's Ransom, they're there. The Colts are there.
But that's the problem. It's the division. You're not going to trade them in the division.
Yeah.
I think even the AFC is a tough sell for me. I know the Jets, they're like, hey, the Jets can make a
dude, that's the team that shouldn't do it. They should not. The Jets have there's a certain point where you have too many holes and you kind of have to rebuild in the draft. You have to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. And I don't think that Sam Darnold is as bad as people think. Like, I think that he could be a pretty good quarterback in this league. Mm-hmm. Miami is another one that gets thrown around too. You're like, hey, we've got Tua, we can offer him and the three again and all that good stuff. Again, I don't want to see them in the conference. So I think that it's, you know, they should move him to the NFC, which means the Bears, which means the 49ers, which means perhaps the Lions, if they're moving on for Matthew Stafford.
Maybe Atlanta,
you know. I think that if he is moving, it's going to be like what the Raiders did. And they made sure that Khalil Mack went to the NFC. And I think that Deshaun Watson would end up playing for an NFC team as well. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Packers will trade and bring him in as the replacement for Aaron Rodgers.
Sounds like
down
a
the
nightmare
road.
For you. There's one team you didn't mention in that group, and that's the Saints. Are the Saints?
Oh, yeah, God, of course. Of course.
Oh, okay. Do you think they're sticking with Famous Jameis, or is –
Bro, if you could get Deshaun Watson, I would ditch all the guys that they have right now. Even I know that Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
If you could find a way, not a far drive. Yeah, I'd get rid of both those guys for Deshaun Watson. Like, Deshaun Watson, it's kind of funny. I know you guys were with me with the Zooey Deschanel thing, and I appreciate that. This is probably going to go too far back to you, but back before Nirvana and Pearl Jam came onto the scene, there was a band called Soundgarden.
Dude,
that was the
Cornell.
Yeah, that was the band. Like, I don't know how young you guys are.
We were in our feelings as teenagers. We got you, man. Right. Yeah, we're with it.
But that's what Deshaun Watson's like. He's like the Soundgarden of this current crop of NFL quarterbacks, where he was the dude. And his rookie season was amazing. Of course, he got injured.
Yeah.
And then you see guys starting to come along now, Patrick Mahomes and the rest of them, which are the Pearl Jam and the Nirvana and all those guys. You're like, what? Soundgarden's still pretty awesome. So I think that Deshaun Watson gets overlooked a little bit because he's been around just for a season longer than these guys, or played for a season longer than these guys. He's incredible. Like, if I'm the Saints and if I'm the Saints, I would trade him whoever. And I think that maybe I think Jameis is probably a free agent, but I would trade whoever. Like, I would do the same thing. If I'm the Saints, I would say, listen, three first round picks, done. Like, I'm doing that tomorrow. I'll sign up for it right now. Let's bring them in. Sean Payton, Deshaun Watson. I'd probably just start rooting for the Saints. I'd be like, forget it. I'm done.
Fun team, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. It would be so much fun.
Also, we're not gonna let you intentionally age yourself, by the way. We're gonna defend you.
Yeah, we got you, man.
More references, right, though.
Throw them out. Go as deep as you want.
It's okay.
Yeah, these references are great.
It's funny because when I was not recently, but before the pandemic and everything, I remember going to a Blink 182 show and it's a bunch of younger kids and everything. And I'm like, I feel like sort of out of place. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the same age as the band. Like, I've grown up with these guys. Like, I was there. Like, we were a bunch of stupid 20-year-olds at the Palladium. You know, this is back in the day when they were first coming up and like going to their shows. It was funny. I used to go see them. There was a triple bill. Real Big Fish was the headliner. Real Big Fish, Blink 182, and the opening act was usually somebody like Goldfinger or the Aquabats or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, at some point when the opening band, like the second act becomes bigger than the first act, you're like, oh, like that's got to be an awkward like locker room exchange of like, oh, we get to go upstairs in the Palladium now. You guys have to stay down here. I've been backstage at the Palladium, so I know. Listen to me. Like, I know it's a sick, humble brag for me, but it's like, oh, we get the upstairs one now, Real Big Fish. And I know you guys have your horns and everything like that, but I'm going to need you to stay downstairs if you can, please. But
no Spanish nanny, but backstage at the Palladium.
Backstage at the Palladium.
Right?
It's give and take.
There it is.
It's give and take. Listen. Yeah.
Get it where you can. We bring up the Saints, though. Nick's favorite player is Alvin Kamara, and we'll kind of segue this into fantasy with a quick little story. We were all in the same fantasy league out in Los Angeles. And one time I had the second overall pick. Nick had the sixth. It was a couple years back. And Nick comes in rocking his Alvin Kamara shirt at the draft. We're doing it live. He's stoked. He's going to take Kamara. He's telling everybody, the sixth pick, Kamara is going to fall to me. No way I don't get him. I'm hearing this. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm sitting at the two and I take Alvin Kamara just to spite him and be a fantasy dick. Because why not?
That's the best.
That's the best. Because why not? We were looking at your next year.
That's the greatest thing ever. I love stories like that. And it's better if you ended up winning the league.
I think I came in second or first. Yeah. I went deep with it. I mean, he's just so good. I had Kamara again this year. I had Kamara and Devontae in one league. And those two guys were just it was a 2QB league. So they kind of slip a little bit with like Mahomes and Lamar going early. So he ended up with both of them combining for 9 touchdowns in week 16. It was beautiful.
I got my revenge though. I won this year. So we're all
he
good.
Did. He there did win this year. Yeah. He took us out. and then, so we're looking at your mock draft for next year. And okay. It was interesting. You had a guy.
It's a top 12. Yeah. The first round.
First round. You had Kelce before any wide receiver.
Yeah.
I can get behind, but there was a running back you had at number two who was a rookie this year, and we don't know who their quarterback is. Jonathan
Taylor.
It's
a little different now. Yeah, it's a little bit different now. You know, a lot of it will depend on that quarterback, and I might reserve the right to change that moving forward. But the one thing that I always implore a lot of fantasy enthusiasts is make sure. And I get this from Bob Harris, who is one of the legends, one of the godfathers of fantasy. And he always had this saying of draft this year's team, not last year's team. And I think a lot of people get so caught up in the, well, I got to go CMC first, no matter what, which is fine. And they're playing so much of last year that they're not looking forward to this season. And for me, I think Jonathan Taylor showed that he started to grasp the offense towards the end of the season. That's one of the things that with the pandemic and not having a full training camp, it's difficult to play running back. It's not always as easy as it often seems. There's a lot of pass protection issues that you got to work through. And I thought that towards the end of the year, he looked like the guy, learned the pass protection, catches the ball well out of the backfield. And depending on who the quarterback is, I would feel very comfortable taking him after Christian McCaffrey, maybe Kamara. Listen, we can have that conversation. Like, I'm not going to tell you, like, you're okay. Like if you're like, I'm going to take Alvin, like take him. Like, that's fine. Like you're not going to get me to say anything bad about that player. I would just prefer somebody who's like on the rise, who plays behind a great offensive line.
Yeah.
And it's also an issue too. Like as much as it is a quarterback issue for Jonathan Taylor, we got to see who the quarterback is going to be for the New Orleans Saints.
Of course.
When Taysom Hill took over, those first couple of weeks, it was rough for Alvin.
Brutal.
It was not good.
Yeah.
So scary. If we're going in and Taysom Hill is going to be the quarterback, and now all of a sudden he becomes a guy that you're like, well, he's stealing 8 touchdowns a year. I gotta bake that into the price, you know, and at the top of the draft there, I think that if I have a quarterback if Carson Wentz, for instance, or Matthew Stafford is the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts next year, I feel pretty confident that neither one of those guys are going to be stealing touchdowns from Jonathan Taylor. So I will look at it that way. And I always just try to be ahead. I just always like to be ahead of the curve. And yeah. I know that, you know, sometimes it blows up in your face. Doesn't always work out. That's fine. But that's the kind of risk taker that I am. And usually it works out well for me.
I think I also
ran into the issue for a couple of years of drafting in the year before. I just kept on putting my money on Le'Veon Bell. And
oh, yeah.
It screwed me for like 2 years. And I was like, oh, come on. This guy's got to hit at some point, right? Nope.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, Nick. Your other teams I remember were always good, too. Like, you always had good teams surrounding Le'Veon. You were just kind of, you know, praying that he hit on the bank. But this year is like the net going in. If you look going into next year, and if you play on last year, it can be difficult because Arthur Smith's left Tennessee. So you don't really know how that offense is going to look down there. I think Dalvin would be my biggest argument to Jonathan Taylor, actually. And Nick, I was not a Dalvin guy, and Nick made me a Dalvin believer this year.
Dalvin was my number one guy coming into the season.
And then obviously the quarterback issue in New Orleans, Saquon coming back from injury, and Zeke. My big saying is you can't win fantasy in the first round, but you can lose. You can lose fantasy in the last round. You can lose it big time there. Would it be
great? Well, the thing is it the only argument I would throw out to that, and I agree with you, but there were so many people that drafted Christian McCaffrey first overall who ended up winning or getting to the finals or doing something like that. But to me, I think a lot of that has to do with you're at the 2-3 turn, and I think that's a huge difference. I do agree with you because if you're at the end of the first round and you're drafting 10th overall and you miss on that pick, you get the second round pick. Your third and fourth round picks are so far down the board. Like, I feel like, depending on your draft position, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying.
Well, I don't think anyone who drafted Michael Thomas this year could have won. I would be surprised if there was a team that drafted Michael Thomas.
We lost.
Josh and I we co-own a league, and we lost with Michael Thomas. And I don't know. I just think it makes such a difference. I also think your mock, was that based off of, was that standard or PPR or half point?
I actually go half point.
You go half point?
Or at least PPR or anything like that. I think the Kelsey situation translates to whatever format that you're playing in.
For sure.
Because the pass catchers, and it, you know, I bringing up that Michael Thomas example, imagine if you would have taken Kelsey this year instead of Michael Thomas. What do you think your team would have looked like? How many, like, it's such a luxury to have Travis Kelsey. Like, I looked at my team because I had a team that had Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, you know, and I had some situations where, like, some weeks where a couple of these guys were injured. I'm like, oh, my team sucks. You know, I'm starting – well, Jeff Wilson ended up playing pretty well, and a lot of these guys, Savant Ahmed or whatever, were coming through. But then you're like, oh, my team's – oh, wait, I got Kelsey. I'm like, okay, there's 15 to 20 points right there from my tight end position.
Right.
The guy streaming Irv Smith, which some weeks is great, some weeks is not great.
Two hitter mess.
Even when you look at Darren Waller, there was a large stretch of the season, especially after their bye week, where he was great every other week. Now he picked it up, I think weeks 14, 15, and 16, he was consistently good. But there were some like bad weeks for him. And you're like, ugh, that's bad. And that's the number two guy. So I think that Kelsey just being so automatic that you've got a first rounder who's automatic. I always feel pretty good about myself picking up at least one running back on the waiver wire every year who's going to do fine. I know before the season started, I liked James Robinson a lot. So I had that luxury on a lot of people. You know, the thing that sucks is I was on Mike Wright, you know, for the Fantasy Footballers, because he was talking about when Leonard Fournette got released. And I'm like, dude, James Robinson's great. And I talked about it on the preseason NFL Fantasy Lives. My idiot friend, well, he's not an idiot because this was a smart move, he drafted him in the seventh round. This happens to me every year. Like, people are like, oh, he's a waiver wire pickup of the year. And I'm like, my friend, Mark DiPaolo, drafted him in the seventh round because I was talking about him. And he pays off.
Blows up in like, your face, your own advice and analysis.
I got to start.
You got to keep a little things. I know. Yeah, exactly. I know it's your job. You got to keep it a little close to the chest sometimes for your own personal gain.
My brother, he drafted Robinson in like the 10th or something like that. I think, you know, the thing about Jonathan Taylor, I wouldn't pick him two right now if I were drafting today. But most importantly, people are paying attention to what you're saying, right? And it's like, it's bringing his name up as it should be brought up because he is going to get so many carries. He's a young back. Obviously, it's only his second year in the league, and the offensive line is probably the best offensive line in the NFL. So if he gets 20-plus carries a game, he's going to be a top-10 fantasy running back, no question.
I will say this. I would have rather taken him this year in, like, the fourth or the fifth than taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round. That was not a road I was going down.
That was a difficult one, and it's funny, like, talking about the league of record, my league of record, my friend Mark DiPaolo, his brother, Doug, was ahead of me in our draft, and I had the sixth pick, and he had the fifth pick, and he took Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I was laughing, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take Derrick Henry, and he was so mad because he would have won, like, he probably would have won the league. He's like, if I would have just taken Derrick Henry, I'm like, and we actually switched this year from our league from standard to half point PPR. And I'm like, you got so twisted up.
Yeah.
Because like half point doesn't make that big a difference.
No.
Like, you still stick with Derrick Henry.
At the end of the day, he still got over 200 points just from yards.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Bro, like, exactly. Even in PPR, Derrick Henry's a different thing. So I felt great because I had him and I got all the way to the finals before I lost. I lost every finals this year, by the way, which I think is probably more impressive than winning them all.
You know what? I've been there, and it was not for one season. It wasn't for two seasons, but it was for three seasons and three leagues.
Oh, my God. It's the worst.
He went 0-9.
Unless you're getting paid out still, then you're like,
I was just like the king of second place.
Nick was the Buffalo Bills of our friend group.
You're like the Bills or Andy Reid. Exactly.
Yeah. Would you?
I was.
Alex and I
finally got my ships. I got two this year, so.
Nice.
Alex and I implored this strategy, and is this too crazy? Can you conceivably win a fantasy league if you don't take one of these running backs in the first three rounds? Is that too crazy?
Not this year. I mean, if you think about some of the guys who are great towards the end of the season, and Antonio Gibson was hurt after the Cowboys games. But I mean, if Antonio Gibson was a later pick, Jeff Wilson was amazing down the stretch. Giovanni Bernard was awesome. David Johnson was great. Savon Ahmed. Like, these are all guys that I had. And like, I was actually getting mad at one of my leagues because I'm like, you guys are so terrible at fantasy that I have so many great players on my team, it's hard for me to always pick the right combination because it's seemingly impossible.
I was in a similar pitch.
It is frustrating. And I can pick any. Like, I started Gio over Ahmed, and those 3 points that I missed out on actually cost me, or Jeff Wilson or whatever it was. Again, I'm not a pure zero RB person. But I'm leaning that way. Like, it's a political ideology of, like, I might not be fully committed to it, but I am committed to it enough that I would vote that way. Like, I would prefer to actually go zero RB a Jace than go double running backs at the top of my league or something like that. Unless you're playing in a standard league and you're guaranteeing yourself some of the top ones. But even then, like, who are the guys? Who are the top guys? Like, if you left your draft and you had Christian McCaffrey and Josh Jacobs as your top two running backs, you probably thought you were going to win your league.
Yeah.
But then it didn't.
I think this year there were a ton of high performing wide receivers, right? Like, one of my home leagues, I really went the no RB full wide receiver tight end route. And I had Kelce, Adams, and DK Metcalf. And there were weeks where I couldn't have lost. Like, I literally couldn't have lost. And then I got in the semifinals and played Alvin Kamara when he dropped a 50-piece, and Justin Tucker hit a 50-yard field goal to win the game, and that put the guy 1 point ahead of me. So that it comes crumbling down sometimes. But I think the wide receiver route can work. You just have to hit on those receivers, and you have to hit big. Like, it can't be three of the top 20. It's got to be three of the top 10.
Yeah. Unlike what we did when we went Thomas, Juju, and Galladay.
No, that doesn't do it for you.
That'll not do it. That'll be a swing and a miss. Big
it
time.
Happens, though.
And the truth of the matter is, you could look at just about any position and find guys who hit at the end of drafts and be like, well, listen, you could do this. It's like, you know, there's still going to be some luck, and there's still going to be, you know, you need some fortune and you need to be able to avoid injuries and things like that. But I think as a basic philosophy, it's easier to me to always try to find running backs who, you know, again, at the end of the season, you're like, okay, this guy's coming on, or this guy's a revelation, or, you know, finding these 1 week wonders and players like that. I think that's a little easier to navigate when you have a strong base with like a solid receiver, you know, is going to like Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce. You're like, okay, I'm pretty much fine. I'm going to be guaranteed a certain number of points every week.
Right.
Now I just got to do a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have any fantasy pet peeves like in your league? Like Josh can't stand kickers. Like, is there anything for you that you would change about fantasy
dumbest
football?
Dumbest thing ever.
Kickers are awful, but then I loved Youngway Koo, excuse me.
Yeah, he was
so
great,
much.
But like, ugh,
like that was fun, and I liked Rodrigo Blankenship. And so, in one of my important leagues, I had Youngway, and I was gonna trade him as a joke to my friend, like, hey, let me get Rodrigo Blankenship out from you. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick with Youngway because he's awesome. And then that was the week he had 21 points. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy could actually win me a league. And as a funny enough, his miss against the Chiefs ended up costing me in that league.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Come so
I do hate kickers. Yeah, it is difficult. It's so volatile. There needs to be some sort of, I don't know. I called this the Butker rule.
Yeah.
And I know that it didn't happen to Butker enough. It happened twice. But I think if a guy hits a fifth PAT in a game, that should be worth double or worth like 5 or 10 points or whatever.
Right.
Just to reward those teams. Because it's frustrating to pick a kicker. You're like, well, I'm going to pick a kicker who's on a good team. And he goes out there and that team scores 28 points. And you're like, cool, I got 4 points out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, they score 4 touchdowns, but they go for 2 on one of them. And you're like, awesome, I got 3 points.
Or he misses a field goal. The one field goal shot he ever had. He has 1 field goal shot the whole game, and then he misses it. Or it's a 50, it's a huge shot, and he misses at the end of the half. I mean,
Josh,
we ditched the kicker in one of my leagues, ditched the defense, did it. And I want to hear a couple more things for you. We ditched the kicker, ditched the defense. We have a head coach. If you win, the head coach gets 1 point. If you lose, the head coach gets minus 1. I was in a league where I won by less than...
I love it.
It's so funny because it worked. I was in a league where I won by less than 2 points, and their head coach was the Rams head coach when they lost to the Jets. It was the semifinals, and had the Rams beat the Jets,
perfect.
I would not have gone to the
finals. That's the perfect situation for something like that.
Perfect. Now, I would love 2 more questions for you. One, we always ask all of our guests the same question so you could think on it, your favorite sports memory. But before you get to that, what is the worst fantasy horror story you've ever heard?
Horror story that I've ever heard?
Yeah.
Like if somebody, it's got to be a fractional point situation. And I'm trying to think about it. It's always so awful. I will do a personal one because years ago when Molly Karam worked for the NFL fantasy life, we had a league and of course for the show and everything like that. And we were playing in the playoffs and her quarterback was Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a game where the Packers had won and Aaron Rodgers was taking a kneel down. It was a game where he just didn't take a kneel down. It's not like he took the half step. He took like 5 steps back to where it was a significant amount to like, that's how she lost. She lost to me because Aaron Rodgers took 5 yards in his back step instead of just a foot. And that was the fractional point. I won by like 0.2 or whatever it was. You get so many of that. I think everybody has these, like even this year, you know, in my semifinal round in my league of record, I was up by 0.26 with 9 minutes to play, the Chiefs and the Saints, and he needed 0.26 and he had Tyreek Hill and Alvin Kamara. Neither one of those guys touched the ball in the last 10 minutes of the game. So if you're watching it, you're like, well, this is automatic. All they got to do is gain a yard and it's over. And this is after Tyreek had just caught a ball. I'm like, whatever, it's over. I lost. And of course the thing is we both scored the 2 highest point totals of that week. So he's obviously, And I don't know. I think this might have been the semifinals. This wasn't the final. This wasn't. No, this was the quarterfinals. So we scored the two highest points. So, of course, he's had the second highest points of the week and lost. At Alvin Kamara, who in the following week went on to score 6 touchdowns. So he would have won that. He would have won the title. He would have captured his first ever Corona Football League championship. But because his two guys, I think that one's, because I know it's fresh, but there's a lot going on there that I think is hilarious.
Sure.
I was all ready to concede. Unlike 45, I was willing to concede and understand if I had lost, I lost. But that was a horror story. I think Molly's was pretty bad as well.
Yeah, Molly, the meals are tough.
And Molly, yeah. And you got to think about, like, Molly, you know, she wants to beat, you know, because, you know, she wants to beat the guys who've been on the show forever. You know, I'm a fantasy guy. Like, it's a great, like, it's a funny story to be like, I beat Rank, got him. And then for that to happen is terrible. Yeah. So, but I think everybody has them. You know, everybody has those stories that you can just think of.
That's why it's so fun to play. That's
so ridiculous.
That's why it's so fun to play.
It's such a small circumstance.
What, you're talking about
that. It goes both ways, you know?
Right. Right, you've won those games. You've won those games. You've lost those games. Corona, you have a league with your buddies from way back when, from growing up.
Oh yeah, I've known these guys since the first grade. There's everybody. So 4 of the guys grew up on my street, so I've known them since first grade.
Okay,
and then 2 other guys we met in third and fourth grade when we started playing youth basketball. Another guy who's in it I've known since junior high, the other guy since junior high, and there's one rando who's like outside of the group who is the friend of somebody. And I'm like, why is he like, he's the oddball, and he's always the one that like sends inappropriate texts or does something stupid, to where like this year, like we're on a group text and he sends out something that's so profane that I finally had to stop. I had to step in. I'm like, you know what? I apologize that you think that I would find, like, I'm more offended that you think that I would find this funny than what you actually said. Please never say that again. Ooh. And I know, and I had to be that guy.
You body bagged the outsider. Swept the fringe guy.
He swept the leg.
Yeah, he swept the leg on the fringe, and dude.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's like, we've had this league going since 2000s, like 2001 might have been our first year, not later than 2002. Yeah, it was before the Angels won the World Series, so it's 2001, and he still didn't have my number in his phone. He's like, "Who's this 714 number?" It's like, first of all, Dick, like if you don't have the common courtesy, like I know you don't like me, I at least have your phone number in my thing.
Yeah.
Just because you're part of the league.
Trading
with some
purposes.
Of my best friends that I've known forever.
Yeah.
Like this is, so I finally had to be like, you know what? And and there's another guy. So there's 2 of us in the league who he didn't know. He's like, I don't know who this is. Cause one of our friends has moved to Cincinnati. It's like, I don't know if that was Rank or Sheridan. Who's like, cause like he's going through the back channels. Like who was mad at me? And he's like, well, both Rank and Sheridan hate you for sending that. Like that was so offensive.
Right.
Like nobody could ever find that to be funny. And I don't know how we got started on this road, but like, yeah, so I've known.
It's a good one though. I'm glad we're here.
I've known 8 of these guys forever. Like, you know, like it's just, I don't know. I think 2021 and 2020 is a little bit different now where there's no longer any reason to let this shit go. To be like, you know what? Actually, and I do that, you know, listen, I live in Orange County. So I have neighbors who a lot of times I have to be like, hey, I really don't want you saying that in front of me. I'm going to have to stop you right there. That's not cool. Like normally, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, which is a bad trade on my part that I allowed it to go on this long in my life. But I think now it's like, we're emboldened to be like, no, you need to step up and start saying stuff.
Right.
Exactly. And I always felt I did an okay job with it, but now I've like taken it and like make sure that it never goes without a warning or something like that, or at least not calling it out.
Being in the league for 20 plus years, has everyone won at least once?
Oh no, there's guys who haven't played. Well, we've had people who've dropped out.
Right,
got it.
So okay. I've won 3. My buddy Scotty J won 3. Yeah, he just joined me in the 3. And there's a couple guys who played. Like one guy played one season, he dropped out. There was another guy who won twice. He dropped out. So that's three right there. So that's nine.
Is there anyone who has been playing since the beginning who has never won?
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of guys. Yeah, because there's guys who have two. So the guy who had Alvin Kamara this year who lost, he's never won. My buddy Frank Hetland's never won. Sheridan, who just joined the league, has never won. One of the DiPaolo brothers has won. The other one has never won. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a concentrated group of guys who've won this.
That is a
sad. The racist guy who was probably getting bodied out of the league, he's won twice. So,
I feel like for us, you know, we've been doing this podcast, as Josh mentioned at the top, for 300 episodes now. Like, we're pretty seasoned at this. And with that comes the territory of our friends jawing at us and being like, oh yeah, you know so much more about sports, how come you can't beat me in fantasy every single game? Does that happen to you all the time in that league? Because it's best with your home buddies who can talk the shit
all the time. And every league that I play in, it's always extremely difficult because I'm the one that everybody wants to beat. Right. I'm the one nobody will ever trade with. Like, I finally was able to make a decent trade this year because I had Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert as my quarterbacks. And so I needed a wide receiver. And I'm like, my buddy Sheridan, I'm like, dude, can you just give me DK for Rodgers? And he did it and was like, cool. I'm like, you'll end up beating me in the playoffs with him, but okay, cool. So we're
sad. It's funny though, because they'll also take your advice when it comes to fantasy football.
This is the thing. So there's two leagues. There's two leagues that I'm like super invested in. So in one of them, it's my second city league. There's three guys who I'm really close with. So it's okay. So the other six guys don't pay attention to me. They don't care what I say. So it's a little bit easier for me to operate. In my league of record, the one that I've been talking about, the DiPaolo brothers especially watch Fantasy Live every day. So if I ever shout them out, I get a text during the show like, hey, thank you for mentioning me. Their sister watches every day. Like, it's a thing. He's the guy who drafts James Robinson 2 years ago. I did not get Lamar Jackson because I mentioned him on the show. I'm basically managing three teams in that league. I can never sneak guys through. Like, if I was in a league where nobody knows me, then it's easy for me to win because I'm just grabbing all the guys that I like. I'm drafting James Robinson. I'm picking up Justin Herbert a week before everybody else. Like, there's things going on that I can maneuver, but these guys, there's like watchdogs. Like, they're minor league affiliates. They're like the pilot fish swimming with the shark. I'm like, I can't win with you guys. Well, you have to stop doing this.
You got to negotiate a percentage, right? If one of them wins, you pull in a percentage of the win. I think it's only fair.
I think it's crazy, though, that I'll be in a league with some guys, and it's happened to me where I've been playing a guy that week, and I'll get a text, hey, who do you think I should start? And I'll go into it. I'll be like, this, this, and that. I'm like, you know what? Let me see who your opponent's playing. And it's me. And it's, I'm like, dude, what? Are you kidding me? It's like, what the hell are we doing here? Yeah. It's target on your back.
But
no,
it's a form
one
of flattery. It's a form of flattery. You know?
Yeah, it is. It is. And especially, you know, for me, when I talk the most shit, because I'm the commissioner too, and I do weekly write-ups where I just diss everybody and their girlfriends, you know, week in and week out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I just really, because they're my home guys too. I've known them their whole lives, and we all know each other and their families. So I spare no expense in that. But tradition on the charity stripe, we always ask our guests this. What is your favorite sports memory? Could be you watching, playing, anything.
This is a very easy one for me. In 2001, when the Angels were, going to make the playoffs, or 2002, excuse me.
Yeah.
When the Angels were going to make the playoffs. Well, actually, in 2001, this was a fun thing of talking so much shit to a Yankees fan that, like, hey, I go, you know what? It's fine. We're not going to make the playoffs this year. And we're gonna win it next year and all this stuff. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And George Fabregas hit a double against Mariano Rivera to win that game. And I'm like, we're not gonna go to the playoffs, but we beat the Yankees right now and we always own them. So that was super fun. But in 2002, when the Angels were making the playoffs, I remember my friend who worked for the Angels at the time was like, hey, do you wanna buy, like, he's like, I know you're not a season ticket holder, but if you send in your money, I can get you in with all the season ticket holders buying tickets. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then my friend and I'm like, let's buy the club level, like the nice club level. Like, we're going to get eliminated, like whatever, like who knows how far we'll go. Let's buy, like, we spent all this money for club level tickets, every home playoff game, didn't buy multiples to sell, which would have been the smart thing to do. We're such rookies, but we bought two for ourselves and We went to every single home baseball game of the Angels that season for that playoff run, including the World Series. And it was just so magical. And it's like, we didn't do it to profit. We didn't do it to make money. We just spent the money like a treat yourself type of thing. And it was awesome. Like the whole playoffs was great. And I remember calling my sister who lived in New York and calling her every day and just every day before the game started and just be like, hey, it's our good luck call. Just, you know, letting her go, hey, let's go Angels, blah, blah, blah. And then winning all the way through. And I remember after game seven, this guy comes up to me and he goes, hey, he's like, can you take a picture? And I'm like, oh, sure. I'd love to. I go, let me see your camera. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm taking a photo of everybody who's been at every game from these sections. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I would love to do that. So we went down and took a photo. The thing of it was, is it's 2002 and cell phones are not as prevalent as they are now. So I don't have that photo. That might be my biggest lament that I didn't have the photo of the people that we spent. Like, it was a great October. And so it was more than a moment, but it was just a great time to be alive.
And y'all clinched. You didn't in Anaheim. You didn't clinch in San Fran, right?
Nope. Anaheim. Game. We were down 3-2. We were down 3-2 coming back for game six. I'd actually watched one of the games at Junior Seau's restaurant because I was down there interviewing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Doug Flutie was having a birthday party upstairs and David Bin, who was the
deep snapper. The
long snapper was a no-cal guy. And I told him to F off. I'm like, I can't hang out with you. Like, this isn't fun. It was a game where the Angels lost.
David Bin used to hit on my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
My mom used to work at the Marriott in San Diego in downtown.
The one on the water?
Yeah, yeah. And she used to get hit on by like Rodney Harrison, like,
oh, yeah.
Like David Bin, Donnie Edwards. And my dad was always just like, this is ridiculous.
Donnie Edwards. Oh man. That's the one I would have been. I would be surprised to know that Donnie Edwards did that. How dare he? But they're football players. I will tell you a story about that. So that hotel was the league hotel for Super Bowl 37.
Yeah.
And I was down there covering it. One time, a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback, we are going down to work one morning, and this Hall of Fame quarterback's in the elevator with his brothers. I'm like, and it's still jarring. Like, even like to this day, it's still like somewhat not natural. Like, you walk in, you're like, oh, hey, Hall of Fame quarterback, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, we're going to go play Torrey Pines. And I got my brothers here. We're going to go. And I'm like, oh, it's awesome. You know, like, have a good time. I heard that's a rad course. And I've never played it, but it seems fun. Blah, blah, blah. We're shooting the breeze. I was on the third floor, so I didn't get to shoot too much breeze. But, so I said, okay, Hall of Fame quarterback, we'll see you later. Was he still playing? It doesn't matter. No, he was retired by this time. So anyway, we go up and work all day, do our thing. So I go back to the hotel and I go to go put my stuff away. I'm gonna go down to the bar.
Yeah.
And Hall of Fame quarterback is now so drunk, he's being propped up by his brothers. He can barely stand. And he's like, whatever. He's like, hey, he's like trying to talk. And we're like, okay. So, all right, we'll see you later. And then I go down to the bar and there's a crowded dance floor. Like they think, but people are just kind of mingling or whatever. And I'm talking to one of the beat writer or a former beat writer for this guy's team. Hall of Fame quarterback has now made it downstairs. And he cuts across this group of people, just like a bulldozer. Boom. And he comes up to me. And the reporter that I was talking to, and he puts his hand around me and he's like, hey, he's like, you got to shut it down. You're getting out of control. And I'm like, who are you talking to? I'm on my second beer. Like, how am I the guy? He's like, oh, shut it down. And he's like grabbing my shoulder. And I'm like, okay, sir. And so the reporter's like, yeah, he kind of gets like this sometimes. And I'm like, it's all good. It was fun. It's a fun story. But
that is
it's
awesome.
Crazy. That was the best Super Bowl. That was so much fun. Like, that hotel was great. And this is before Petco wasn't even finished yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
So Gas Lamp wasn't Gas Lamp.
That was that the Raiders Bucks?
Raiders Bucks, yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny is, so my dad was a Raiders fan my entire life growing up, and now he's just kind of just an NFL fan in general. But
yeah,
I was technically kind of raised a Raiders fan, and I was living in San Diego, and I'm a Chargers fan now. But he went to a Raiders game in San Diego. I think it was Monday night with his friends. And I was so pissed, and I was like, all right, you know what? Promise me one thing. If you go to this game, I was like 7 years old, that the next time the Raiders come to San Diego, you're taking me. He goes, okay, I promise. Next time they came to San Diego was the Super Bowl against the Bucks. I didn't get to go to that game, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is not cool.
And that's that's why I fought Nick's dad last year for him on his behalf.
Yeah.
Okay. And lost.
Good.
And lost. But you know what? It's, you have to fight for your boy's honor in some cases. Rank, thank you so much for joining us. We'll let you get back to your celebration on Inauguration Day. Big day for the nation. Big weekend of football this week. We'll be in touch, brother. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. And I'm serious. Golf, you'll caddy for me, and then we'll play, and then we'll have a good time. We'll go play Penmar.
Yeah.
It'll be a blast.
You'll have two caddies. Toss, Alex and I will both caddy. We'll throw in lips, tell some jokes, drink some beers.
All right.
We'll be your entertainment.
Yeah. The show monkeys for the day.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Awesome, brother.
Love that.
How much better can that get? Not only do we have a good podcast episode, but we have a new friend. We're hitting the links, throwing in lips, living the life. When football's gone on a Sunday, we're going to make it not so casual and go have an enjoyable day with the boys. Maybe, just maybe after we're done golfing, we'll cook up some meats, smoke some meats, in honor of Mark Zuckerberg and in honor of our new sponsor, Kansas City Steaks. With a new year comes tons of new big games in sports. With big games, you need big steaks. Kansas City Steaks has the cuts you crave to celebrate the playoffs and the big game. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com/gameday and save up to $25 on combos perfect for game day. Plus, get free shipping with the code BELEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout. Try out the snack pack combo featuring small plates with big flavor. Mini beef Wellington steak burger sliders, Nick would love that. Mac and cheese melts, Nick would love that. Shrimp wrap bacon, you know who would love that? Nikki Snacks Kreider. Every order in flash frozen delivered directly to your home, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Basically, every cut of steak imaginable, plus appetizers, desserts, barbecue, and so much more. Again, go to KansasCitySteaks.com/gameday and use the code BELEAV, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout for free shipping. Kansas City Steaks, big games, big taste. They got desserts. I wonder if they have a sweet pulled pork for Toss. He'll enjoy that. His birthday is not for a few months, but maybe as an early gift, we'll get him a surprise sweet pulled pork. For a sweet new year and a sweet 300th episode, hope you guys enjoyed that. The fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.